This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Even with the constant news stories about the toll the heroin and opioid epidemic is taking on our community, it's often difficult to completely grasp the full extent of the damage it's causing. Last year, the Northern Kentucky Health Department developed an interactive opioid data story map known as the GeoStory of Opioid Addiction. Its aim is to provide a better understanding the impact of the heroin epidemic in Northern Kentucky is having. And joining us to discuss the opioid epidemic, our Northern Kentucky Health Department GIS manager, Ned Kalapashev, one of the experts who created the GeoStory online data resource, and Kenton County Family Court Judge Christopher Mailing, who sees the personal damage that addiction does to individuals and families in his courtroom. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ned and Judge Mailing, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting
us. Good to see
us.
Both of you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Ned, talk about this map for us. How did you come up with the idea for the map in the first place? What kind of research went into creating this?
Sure. So, as you know, we do have a serious heroin epidemic in Northern Kentucky, and part of the issue is that we have this comprehensive team that's addressing this problem, the HURT, or Heroin Impact Response Task Force. And these folks, it's a collaboration of many agencies, have been working on this issue for a while. And we have all this data, and we're trying to combine this into a usable report for public and other folks to be able to access and see what's going on. So the idea was to create an online live living document that we will update every 6 to 12 months, depending on data sources, and create it in such a manner that folks can just look at it and sort of skim through the whole thing in a couple of minutes and get an idea, or you can actually go page by page and dig in and get down to zip code level data on your neighborhood and see what's going on.
So how did you gather all the data? How was the research for this done?
So we tried to combine data from existing sources, so a lot of state agencies that publish data on the annual schedule. So, for instance, the Kentucky Center for Injury Prevention publishes the death data or finalizes the death data in this case. Kentucky State Police has reports on drug-related activities and arrests and things like that, in addition to Office of Health Policy for outpatient and inpatient emergency room drug issues or overdose overdose-related data. So once those reports are finalized on an annual basis, we then import those and kind of look at our area, which is top 8 counties in Northern Kentucky or the Ed District, and try to map them by zip code and provide statistics on that community level on what's going on.
And this is all public, Ned. I mean, anybody can look at this data, correct?
Okay. Correct.
Yeah. Judge, how valuable is it to have something like this?
Well, it gives us an idea of where to look and how big is the problem. we kind of know that already just by the docket size. We've gone, when I first got here about 10 years ago, I might look at 400 cases of abused, neglected kids in a year. And I checked with my clerk this morning, and we had over 2,000 in 2016, new cases. And some of these cases, they come back again and again and again, so the numbers don't exactly tell you the volume over and above that. So it is clear that we are drowning in the cases. And to a great extent, a lot of these people that are suffering these addictions are young people. They're having children. And so a part of the equation is that they're supposed to be responsible for their children and cannot be because they're incapacitated by their addiction.
So this is having a big impact on families, and you and your fellow judges are seeing this.
Yes, we are. In fact, we're in a process of judicial redistricting, perhaps, and one of the things the Chief Justice is going to recommend is we add a third family court judge for Kenton County, a second family court judge out in Boone County. Canton's really been bearing the brunt of this problem. It's bad in Boone and Campbell, too, but we're hard against the interstate. And as a result, we're just getting this torrent of cases. We pretty much run out of foster care placements. I've exhausted a lot of grandparents who I've asked to raise their grandchildren. And being a grandparent myself, I understand, you know, grandparents don't want to be the raiser of their grandchildren. So we're down to families and friends with a lot of these kids, because when we have to remove them from their homes, having to do that in and of itself is a terrible thing.
Mm. Yeah, so it sounds like it's getting pretty serious. The resources are running thin for dealing with this.
It's been serious. My social workers who I see in my court are overworked and underpaid. I will give Governor Bevin a lot of credit. He is working hard to get us more social workers. Last year, he proposed a plan to get some pay raises, especially for social workers who are interested in just being career social workers, not being supervisors. The amount of the raise would probably be laughed at in private industry, but mm-hmm. in government, in these times, it was a generous move on his part. We don't have enough treatment beds. We don't have enough treatment facilities. We don't have enough addiction specialists. And we don't have enough mental health. And a lot of the centers around mental health. So we need help on every front. I'm certain his statistics tell you that.
You can use his statistics, though, I think, as evidence of how great the need is, I would say. Yeah,
exactly.
How many years have you been on the bench, Judge?
I'm in my 11th year.
11th year. Okay.
So one of the problems with the statistics is that the story they tell is an old story. We were just talking. He doesn't have 2016 yet. So you're looking at data that, for me, is already about 18 months or more old.
Correct, yes.
And I know for certain it's worse. So the story's only worse than what the numbers tell you. Mm.
Well, and I guess it's just tough to keep up with the data. And
correct.
That's why
right.
It takes...
So what we're trying to do is use already published reports. In other words, not recreate a wheel. And if you talk to anybody at the coroner's office or anything like that, you know, things have to be finalized, approved, and cleared, and especially in a drug overdose, if there is more than one drug involved or anything like that, it has to be very clear what was the cause, the main cause of death, and things like that. So it takes a little bit to finalize that data, and we're hoping to get some of the 2016 data here probably next month or so update that.
Yeah. What are some of the key data points? Let's talk about some
sure,
of the things,
sure.
the things
so,
that we, you can find on the map and what they're showing.
Right. So, so looking at 2015 as the last year of data we had, we lost a person to drug overdose every 40 hours in Northern Kentucky. So that's nearly five times more deaths to drug overdose than a car accident in 2015.
This is for Northern Kentucky. I got to tell you, I know that's so. It's gotten so bad in the morning. I electronically open up my Inquirer, and the first thing I do is go to the Kentucky obituaries to see if any of my parents are in there that day.
Mm.
And often they are.
But it's one overdose death every 40?
On average, every 40 hours.
Every 40 hours. Wow. What else does it show?
So over the last 5 years, we have a continuous increase in deaths. And for the most part, it's actually males in 45 to 54 age group that have been dying. And last year in 2015 was for the first time the younger males in 18 to 25 exceeded the older age group. So in addition to, you know, stark death statistics, we looked at things like bloodborne disease rates, hospitalizations, and then fire and EMS response and police response as a result of this. And basically it's increasing in every area that we looked at. Bloodborne disease like hepatitis C in Northern Kentucky is about three times the rate than state rate of Kentucky, and we are about 15 times the rate of the United States in hepatitis C. When you look at police response, It's increasing, I believe, in last in 2015, one in four drug arrests were actually opioid-related. If you look at 5 years ago, it was one in 10. So that's just quadrupled easily.
So this obviously shows there's a lot of burden on the police and first responders.
Correct. Yeah. And then for first responders, I found this very interesting. Basically, between the 2014 and 15, an increase almost doubled in drug-related responses. On average, in Northern Kentucky, again, this is the Ed District, the top eight counties, there was about 2,600 drug-related runs in 2015, which averages about seven a day. So that's seven times a day, EMS was unable to respond to somebody else for heart attack or anything else. They were responding to somebody for a drug-related run. Mm. So similarly to that, naloxone, the drug overdose reversal kit has been used in 2014 about 1,300 times, and that's up to 60%. So out of 60% of the runs, naloxone was used in 2015. In other words, 6 out of 10 times EMS was administering naloxone at the site.
Do you have any data on children born addicted?
That's
a good point, Judge, because that is a growing problem.
I know there's data on it, and I know it's going up and up and up.
Yeah, that's one of the gaps we have, the neonatal abstinence syndrome. Mm-hmm. We are trying to collect some data on that and hopefully update a map. So the idea is to have a basic set of data points that we can track over time and see how this changes and what's happening as a response. And then as we come across reliable sources that we can get data again, so it's not just getting data once. We're trying to get mm-hmm. it over time and actually see if it's making a difference. Once we make those connections, we'll be able to upload that also.
When you Judge Maley mentioned that when you look at the cases, Kenton County is very hard hit compared to Boone and Campbell. When you look at the map, does it bear out what parts of Northern Kentucky are being hit the hardest by the heroin epidemic?
So I don't have that right directly in front of me to give you the worst offenders, but Kenton County having the highest population and highest population density out of all the counties there, and as Judge mentioned, being right on that 75 interstate pathway is one of the harder hitting counties, for sure.
My friend Mark Nykirk, who used to be the editor of the Post and has been working on, he's at NKU now. He's given me a peek at a draft of an abstract he's preparing. In here, he has average annual drug overdose death rate by county of residence 2012 to 15. And Jefferson County, our biggest county in the state, it's 24.5. And our next biggest, Fayette, 24.7. Kenton, 46.3. Mm-hmm. Almost double Louisville.
So this is really hitting Northern Kentucky very, very hard, which again shows why keeping track of it. I guess one of the aims of keeping track, Ned, is to help in making policy decisions.
Correct. So the story map, which is also on our website, if you go to nkyhealth.org/heroin-response.aspx on our website, you can also look on recent news and see the link for that. You'll see that the idea was, again, to combine this into a usable data set, and then, as the judge mentioned, looking at the state as a whole and then looking at Northern Kentucky as a region within a state, we definitely have a problem here comparing to the state and comparing to the nation also.
Jed, you were saying you were hoping at some point that there would be an additional family court judge coming on board.
Yes.
I know you talked earlier about the number of cases going from 400 to 2,000. What on a weekly basis? Can you break it down a little bit more? I mean, what are you seeing weekly?
Well, I do these kind of cases every other week, but I take in new cases every Monday. So this morning I had kind of a low morning. I think we arraigned like 15 to 20 children. Normally, we're looking at like 50 kids on a Monday, new cases. And then they have to be followed. You know, they have to be tried. Then we have to do a disposition, come up with a plan, because my court is a court, not a punishment. But my job is to try to get these kids back to parents. I find with drug cases, we're not done in 2-3 months. You know, to even assure ourselves they're sober, you're looking at 12 months plus. And they tell me for heroin, you're looking at 24 months. So those cases, it's kind of like building this huge pile and you take a little bit off it every month, but not the amount you've been putting on the pile. So it gets bigger and bigger. I got to keep following them. So every other Tuesday all day, every other Thursday all day, half a day every Monday. And then I have a colleague, Judge Gentry, who's mirror imaging what I'm doing. And then we found we're so backed up now we've had to put on extra days. Quarterly, we do permanent custody hearings for these kids whose parents don't make it. We got to make a permanent arrangement. And then on top of that, we get so behind in dispositions, we got to add extra days. And then on top of that, for the parents who don't make it, I got to conduct hearings to terminate their parental rights for the children who don't have grandparents or aunts and uncles to scoop them up. And instead, we're putting them in the system to be adopted. So that's a lot of time.
That is a lot. Well, that's a lot of time. And like you're saying, things are getting backlogged. I know Kenton County is particularly hard hit. You think, though, that a lot of family judges across the state of Kentucky are seeing similar, at least proportional increases where they're at?
Well, it's interesting because last week, the Chief Justice had all the judges in the state together on Wednesday, and then the family court judges stayed Thursday and Friday. It depends on the region. For example, what I talked to you about heroin, my colleagues in the East and the West will talk to you about meth. Same kind of thing, but not heroin, it's meth. Some places it's starting to creep in. Some of my colleagues in certain parts of the state haven't seen much heroin, but now are starting to see it. So, but there's hardly, there isn't any place that's immune from this. It's all to one degree or another. Yeah. And of course, the East and the West before the meth, it was the pills, oxycodone, until we cracked down on doctors and that a few years ago. That's now driven a lot of those people to things like heroin, like meth. Now, because they can't get those scripts anymore.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And Alex in Cincinnati joins us now. Hi, Alex. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm just kind of joining in a little bit late in this conversation, but I heard the comment earlier about EMTs being unable to respond to life and death, like calls, because they're on drug-related calls. As an EMT and as a paramedic student, I feel like that's really misleading. And I kind of wanted to know the data to back it up, because we as a district or as a station, we may only get like 4 calls in a day. Not even if 3 of those calls are drug-related, it's not that we're not getting... where it's not like we're going on those instead of heart attack or, you know, trauma calls. It's because that's what's getting called at the time. And I just felt like that comment was really misleading of those are taking away from other things. There's still people's, like, mothers and daughters and sons and fathers that we are going to help. I just want to know the data that backed up that we're taking away from other people to service these people.
Okay.
That's a definitely valid response, and by all means, I agree with that. The statement was clearly saying that how many times EMT responds on average in Northern Kentucky for those, but thank you. Mm-hmm.
So what's next, Ned? Are you going to expand on this online resource map?
We're
going to add more things to it?
We already have quite a few things in there. So we, in addition to, the stats and data, have other tools that can help community members and those struggling with addiction to find some resources there. Northern Kentucky Drug Addiction Helpline is featured there. It's 859-415-9280. And if you call that number, you can talk to the counselor and be actually put in touch with somebody that can give you help and guide you in on your path to recovery. So in addition to that kind of information, we have maps, interactive maps to show locations where members of the community can obtain naloxone kits. It's sort of another app where you can search by location where you are and find the nearest distributor or pharmacy that you can pick up naloxone. And also this includes our health department's clinics in each county that we offer this service. In addition to this, prescription drop-off boxes, if you have unused prescriptions, we have a map for that too, where you can find out where you can drop them off and get rid of oxycodones and things like that, potentially in your medicine cabinet. That can it's a proven path towards the addiction. So there's quite a bit of information there, and we also have locations of the medical assisted programs and substance abuse treatment locations and things like that you can get more and more info.
Well, Ned and Judge Maley, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Northern Kentucky Health Department GIS Manager Ned Kalapashev and Kenton County Family Court Judge Christopher Mailing. The next Northern Kentucky Forum Cafe Series event, Understanding Heroin's Scope, What Do the Numbers Tell Us, is going to be held Thursday morning from 7:45 to 9:30 at the Park Place Community Center in Taylor Mill. You can find a link to more information at wvxu.org.